Welcome to our third episode of the Sports Live podcast. And in this installment, we will discuss the hot topic surrounding sports broadcast rights. And we are going to zoom in on the ICASA proposed regulations, which seek to even the playing field and make sports of national interest available on free-to-air television channels. Before we get into that conversation, let's recap on the main sports stories during the rounds. Now, in his first released extract of his new autobiography, Beast Ntawarira has come out swinging, saying that the former Springbok coach, Peter de Villiers, was out of his depth as coach of the national team. Now, that is a very, very interesting topic, and we would love to have Beast coming into this podcast to talk about his book as well as that controversial extract in the very near future. Meanwhile, the Sharks and the Bulls are in the Super Rugby playoffs and will face the Brumbies and the Hurricanes respectively. Both matches will be away from home for the South African teams. The other quarterfinalists are the Crusaders, who host the Highlanders, and the Jaguares, who host the Chiefs. Banyana Banyana were knocked out of the FIFA Women's World Cup after their 4-0 loss to Germany on Monday night. It was their third straight defeat of the tournament, and it means that they are coming straight home. But according to the coach, Desiree Ellis, Banyana won the hearts of the French crowd during the tournament. This is the coach speaking to our man, Lunga Kupiso, who was at the tournament last week.
You know, we said we're going to come here. We want to make sure that when the World Cup's over, that people remember who we are, that the players are not forgotten, but we so desperately wanted that result tonight. But yes, you know, the players have become a crowd favourite, and it's the way they perform on the field. You know, the result hasn't been forthcoming, but everybody can see what it is that we're trying to do, and it's a step in the right direction. You know, we've fought many years to come to the World Cup, and the first one getting in such a tough group, I don't think anybody gave us even a chance of coming close. In both games, we were really, really close. And we're hoping for, you know, for something better.
Banyana and South Africans, I think we all should stand behind the side and really stand behind the side brimming with pride, because they are fighting well at this World Cup. It is the first ever time that we have a women's football side in a World Cup organized by FIFA. So this is a remarkable feat. If you look in terms of performances on the field, obviously we're not getting the results that we would love as a nation, because as South Africa we are addicted to winning, because we know we can produce the results. But you can't produce the results if you do not invest in your sports. And I hope that SAFA sees enough now in Banyana Banyana to the point where they'll approach their partners and not just only depend on Sasol to carry this team, but approach the rest of their partners and also make available more funding from SAFA themselves to promote and to ensure that women's soccer gets the same kind of attention that male soccer does get. Because essentially, at the end of the day, these ladies have fought hard.
Right, let's get back to the debate surrounding sports broadcast rights. Obviously, this battle is between three main protagonists: the SABC, SuperSport, and the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA. At the end of May, ICASA held public hearings into their draft regulations, which had these three main points, and I'll go through them very, very quickly. Events such as the Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics, Paralympics, the FIFA World Cup, the Men's and Women's AFCON, as well as the Rugby and Cricket World Cups, have all now been classified as events of national interest and should be available for free to the masses on free-to-air broadcasting. While the likes of the Premier Soccer League, Super Rugby, Curry Cup, Comrades, Two Oceans, the CAF Champions League, as well as the Premier Hockey League must be stripped of their exclusive rights and be sub-licensed to free-to-air broadcasters at presumably at low cost or no cost at all. And thirdly, subscription and free-to-air broadcasters will now be forced to broadcast at least two minority sports, and these sports include codes such as wrestling, tennis, water polo, golf, motorsport, indigenous games, and the list goes on and on. Now, I wrote extensively on this subject because I felt that should the regulations pass into law as they are, they could change the way we consume sports forever. You could find those articles on my LinkedIn profile, or alternatively, Mahlatsi Mphahlele of the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department also did in-depth reports for both Times Live and the Sunday Times. How will the regulations affect the sports broadcast game exactly? Well, the simple answer is that ICASA is playing Robin Hood. They want to take from the rich and give to the poor. And if they succeed in their aim of stripping SuperSport, who are Africa's biggest paid television broadcaster, of their exclusive rights, they will kill their business. SuperSport prides itself on being the most comprehensive broadcaster of live sports in Africa. They've done this by getting exclusive rights to coveted sporting events such as the PSL, the English Premier League, Springbok Test matches, Super Rugby, Proteas matches, as well as a whole host of major tournaments. And the acquisition of the 2007 PSL rights all but turned them into a juggernaut of pay television. For instance, more English Premier League live matches are shown on SuperSport per season than in England. And since 2007, they raised their subscribers from 3 million to 15 million in a space of 10 years. Their counterparts, the SABC, unfortunately, has gone in the opposite direction. And this was very apparent during the ICASA public hearings. In the last week alone, it's been reported that the public broadcaster is 1 billion rands in debt, and they're looking for 3 billion in terms of a bailout from government. As it stands, they don't know if they'll be able to pay salaries at the end of the month. According to their CFO, Yolandi van Biljon, the SABC even owes SuperSport 208 million rands. How this came to be is really not difficult to deduce. There have been plenty of reports of mismanagement at the SABC and a general incompetence that has cost the taxpayer loads and loads of money. Just last Sunday, the Sunday Times reported that the SABC had anticipated day zero as recently as March this year. What's most disturbing, however, is that the revelations that have come out of the public hearings were that they have failed to commercialize or make profit of the sports broadcast rights that they had already acquired. For instance, in the last 5 years, the SABC spent 3.7 billion on sports broadcast rights, but only made 148 million in net revenue for those rights. Although Bafana Bafana games drew north of 3 million viewers, the SABC were not able to turn those eyeballs into profit. The regulator has now stepped in to address this, shall I say, rich dad, poor dad imbalance, but their actions have the potential to impact sports federations negatively as well. Without the SuperSport money, which would be lost without their guaranteed exclusivity, federations claim that their sports would die. The likes of SA Rugby CEO Yuri Roo, as well as PSL chairman Dr. Irvin Khoza, said as much at the hearings. We know, of course, that 80% of the PSL's revenue comes from broadcast rights, which accounts for around 2 billion rands. And the 657 million SA Rugby get from broadcast fees accounts for 60% of its total revenue. In fact, I caught up with Dr. Irvin Khoza at the end of the PSL's presentation and asked him his thoughts on the process.
Looking at research, there's no research suggesting that there's no access, you know, to a PSL, you know, property. And that is why we've demonstrated that what we've presented in terms of balancing free-to-air and subscription, there's an oversupply of events, and make sure that those events that, you know, are cream de la cream, are confined in the space of making sure they are shown by both broadcasters, you know, at the same time. So we don't see that there is anything that is left, you know, without, you know, showing the regulator an opportunity that they can change the regulation as it stands at the present moment. It's because the editorial authority, you know, is controlled by the PSL. And but also to make sure that, you know, we put the element of sub-licensing, whoever buys the rights, cannot hog the rights alone. It must be shared. Whether it's bought by free-to-air, it must give to subscription. If it's bought by subscription, it must give to free-to-air, which is very important. But also to make sure that there's a minimum game that we give, you know, to the what call, you know, to either would be. Yeah, yeah. So make sure that they are guaranteed. All the events that are important are guaranteed to free to air. So we have done very well in making sure that the people that have supported for all the years are not disadvantaged. But also there's the issue of the reality. Where do you balance this to make sure that the revenue that is coming up should not be the one that you know, hamstringing, you know, the development of football in the country, because we're not funded by the state. You go to the national lottery for your development, what are called, you know, academies. They can't give you money because they say you're commercial. So where do you get the money from if you're not going to be from your continent? Well, we did in our submission to say what informed it was the regulation, as it says itself, it says that, you know, we are not in sport of national interest. We are just a popular sport. So popular sport does not make a sport of national interest. So therefore, that in itself is our own regulation, not our own regulation. So that regulation still there, it's not changed. So we don't know how are we now being put in that category. But I guess, you know, they've got more information, they're gathering, they'll come up with a position. We will assist them to clarify what is that must happen as a way forward.
Now, I also spoke to ICASA chairperson on these hearings, Palesa Kadi, to hear her thoughts on the process and what the regulator had learnt from the week-long presentation and written submissions from the public. This is what she had to say.
I think the issue of the balance of revenue together with public interest remains an outstanding center of things.
Okay.
Insofar as how we're going to do that, a lot of federations were referring us to loss of income,
okay,
loss of revenue, and just inability to survive beyond. And we've been trying to clarify that reach is important to us, insofar as access.
Yes.
And also how matters of development are of concern for social cohesion, but also to make sure that there's just diversity of sports that is available. We've received quite surprising inputs from a National Heritage Council.
Yes.
Insofar as indigenous games are concerned.
That's right.
We also received from the great 11 learner Sandam Gedezi.
Yes, from my old school.
His inputs and analysis, very brilliant young spark. Insofar as sports commentary is concerned, and his plea was that there should be accessibility of sport, as also is coming from rural areas, only had to be more exposed to us being in the urban areas.
Yeah.
We've received quite a number of compelling cases as well from PSL, insofar as how they are configured as an institution and how they see this as an impediment to their cause, to their development, and their plans in the future to own stadiums like it's done in European countries.
Right.
We've spoken to Media Monitoring Africa, whose view was that there should be a gendered lens. There also should be quite an impact study to look into these views. However, access remains critical also in their view, access of sport. One could pose a question as to why have we not received complaints from licensees, and how and why do people believe that it's been a fair journey since 2010? We can allude to a few cases where we've seen that when the Springboks played, we are unable to view it on free to air. And this compels people, young people in particular, to sit in areas that are not kind to their growth, to taverns, to watch
pubs and
boxing
like.
Matches, to watch Springboks. And at the end of the day, rugby is a national sport.
Now, since the public hearings, there have been a lot of questions and a lot of interesting developments in the broadcast space. We all know about Kwese Sports in the free-to-air broadcast realm, but a new player has entered the ring and they have come out swinging. Swiss sports media company Infront has just acquired the free-to-air broadcast rights for the 2019-2020 English Premier League season in sub-Saharan Africa, which accounts for 40 countries such as South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, and Kenya. To tell us about who they are and what the acquisition of the EPL free-to-air rights means, I've roped in a mate, a guy I went to high school with, who has made great strides in the sports media game. He goes by Yannick Wombo. But we used to call him Rambo on the rugby field. He was a winger, a fierce winger, a guy I would definitely not want to be on the receiving end of trying to tackle back in his playing days. Now, Yannick was an accomplished rugby player in his own right at Pretoria Boys High School and played in the same first team with the likes of Chilibwe Ralepele and Joey Mongalo. But he also went on to play for the Blue Bulls as well as the Falcons. Yannick, welcome to the Sports Live podcast, buddy.
Thank you, Spoo. How's it going?
Right. Now you're in the sports media game. We're going to put your rugby to the side a little bit and talk about, this is where you now specialize. I've seen you do work for CAF. I've seen you do work for SAFA in the football sporting space. But tell us, what do you do for In Sports and what does that role entail?
So basically, for the past 6 or 7 years, I've sort of like upped my skills in the media broadcasting area in terms of distribution and acquisition of sports content globally and distributing it into the African continent with my expertise of traveling with in around the continent to various countries. So I kind of like made my way inroads in that space.
And you're a first language French speaker as well.
French speaking, yeah.
That must help.
Yeah. So basically what we do in France is actually a partner of ours, because what it is, before I ended up in this role, I was with Sky, I used to distribute the EPL to various free-to-air broadcasters, but through the clubs in the EPL who own the home matches.
Right.
So what has happened now, obviously, the EPL has taken back those rights and they're giving it to a marketing agency in the form of Infront.
Right.
Infront is probably similar to IMG, ABS in the US, those sort of companies. Yeah. So they own these rights, and what they do is basically they redistributed it to various free-to-air channels.
Right. And where do you come in this process?
So where do I come in? We do product development in terms of broadcast products.
Yeah.
We do acquisitions. We try to look at the various sporting codes that could aid various broadcasters in terms of bumping up their programming in the sports area. So we know football is very expensive.
Yeah.
So we do look at sports like volleyball, we look at netball, we look at like women's football right now. It's quite popular.
Very.
So that's also quite an interest with various broadcasters.
Yeah. And did you play any role in bringing these free-to-air broadcast rights? And how do they differ as well to the normal EPL rights that
the sport has? So what happened was 3 years ago, end of 2016, the EPL, I think Scudamore had about, Scudamore is the current CEO of the EPL and he's stepping down, I think, end of this year.
Right.
He put together a program where he said, okay, cool, we've got various players that have come into the scene now and they want to break down the EPL rights.
Okay.
So where before Bein Sports in Qatar obviously owns the North
Bein
Africa
sports,
and Super Sport owns the sub-Saharan African rights.
Right.
And then you have various other players, Star Sports in India, I think, and there's other players around the world.
Yeah.
So, but those were all pay TV and they were making a lot of money. But the reality is now that we have, there's players like Amazon Prime, we have
Facebook Watch,
Twitter has also came into the picture.
Twitter. What?
They've just bought the rights for China, specifically China highlights package for China.
Twitter?
So, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
You're going to watch football games on Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter,
that's insane.
So you see those 3 minutes, 5 minute clips?
Yeah.
So they give you all the highlights. So Twitter bought those rights. So in order for you to get that, you're going to have to go to Twitter now and get that. But that's specifically for Asia.
Oh, right.
So the EPL thought, okay, cool. They were making probably tons of billions of pounds and they realized, okay, cool, we need to redistribute this and enter the new players in the game. Obviously, in England, we know there's BT Sport and there's Sky. And what they did is they broke down the rights to accommodate various players so that they can also, in that doing, they're able to increase their revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we know that EPL rights are the most expensive sporting rights in the world. I just did a quick Google here that it costs £1.7 billion pounds. So if you want the bundle, you want to hold them to yourself, you need to be prepared to part with a ton of money.
Yeah, is it worth it? The reality is it brings the eyeballs. And the eyeballs bring the advertisers for channels. So if you bring in for 80, 90-minute match, you have about 3 million viewers. that's a lot of viewers that you can sell that space to various your owners, various consumer products that want to sell their products. So you can use that space. So broadcasters find themselves in a predicament where, okay, now you have various players, not only streaming, also free-to-air. Free-to-air are saying, look, we also want a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And in order for them, and you got to remember, Aspu, when games like the Springboks versus the All Blacks played last year, when the Springboks All Blacks played at home last year,
I'd love to in South Africa,
SuperSport had 3.5 million eyeballs. The delayed live game that went on to SuperSport, SABC2, that brought 16.1 million viewers.
Delayed live.
Yeah.
And that's so just that pure is, that access.
Is exactly.
Yeah,
and that is the demand.
And that's what ICASA wants. But we're gonna get into that technical side of the regulations in a bit. But I want to know is, in terms of splitting free-to-air rights and subscription, which is paid TV rights, is this going to have any effect on the demand of the sport and any effect on how much money the EPL makes out of these rights?
The EPL actually makes a lot more with the increase
by unbundling,
exactly. Okay. So what you have is, let's say, this year it went for 5 billion between Sky and BT Sports.
£5 billion.
The whole package. And you remember, and then they redistributed to the various players.
Right.
Like BT Sports and Sky did a deal with Amazon Prime where they gave them about 20 games.
And then BT Sports.
I think they're taking 50 or 65 games, and obviously Sky gets the majority of the games. But what happens is that now you have, instead of getting that they've already put 5.1 billion, they're going to get probably an extra 3 or 4 billion from various other players.
Aside from the core, that bought the bulk of them.
Not only more money for EPL, there's also more money for sub-licensing. So that's where they find themselves in. Mm. So there's going to be a lot more money. So it's just how you create the product, how you package it. That's what it's going to boil down to. Like a game, just a quick example, a Liverpool versus Manchester United game, massive game. Amazon would probably want it. So you say, cool, that game, Prime TV, absolutely. Subscribers, pay TV, absolutely. But you can resell it to streamers. A person that streams does not necessarily have pay TV decoder at home.
That's true.
But he will want to watch the Liverpool Manchester United.
He just wants to pay for the game.
Exactly.
And this is interesting because I follow a lot of NBA, and one of the most interesting quotes that I've ever heard from Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, he said that it won't be long until people just want to pay for the last 5 minutes of games.
Absolutely.
So streaming doesn't just come with you sit in front of your phone with your earphones on, you know, for 90 minutes on end. These are people with the turnover attention span of less than a second, you know. So these are people that actually just there for what they particularly want. So 100%. That's a totally different market.
It's very interesting that you brought up the NBA, because what's happening in global sports is that everybody wants a piece of the pie, the broadcasting pie.
Yeah.
So now you have the NBA, they want to sell their rights in Africa.
Yeah.
The NBA wants to get into Asia. EPL wants to get in South America. South America, previously dominated by La Liga.
Right.
And now they also want a piece of that part.
Yeah.
So everybody wants a piece of every sporting code, the major sporting code, that is. You know, your football, FIFA is getting competition. You know, FIFA, normally every 4 years you think FIFA knows that they're trying so hard to make sure that within the calendar, the sporting calendar,
right,
that when they have a FIFA World Cup, there's no other major sports event during that year.
That
means the subscribers, is the rights, the channels are going to pay much less, or they'll go and bid, but they won't bid as much as they would normally bid on that sporting calendar year.
Right.
So the competition is getting tougher, not only in South Africa, it's globally. It's happening globally. So what you have is NBA wants a piece of the pie. The NFL is now playing games in France. They're playing games in Germany.
In England.
You know, they're going to Brazil.
Yeah.
They had a game in Brazil.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody wants a piece of the pie because they want to spread. They see, look, it's a globalized, in sporting specifically, it's a globalized world. So we want to know that, you know what, if we're getting stars from Serge Ibaka or the guy from Cameroon,
Pascal,
you know, we want to know that, you know.
That's
where it is. So we found ourselves in a position where it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, and everybody wants a piece of the pie. So now it's all about how you package your product.
Right. Now I wanna bring it in a little bit now. The Premier Soccer League, 80% of their income comes from SuperSport.
Yeah.
And they kind of like the way things are.
Yeah.
But is there a risk in that they might shortchange themselves if they don't unbundle? Look, Dr. Koza says that there's no evidence that there isn't enough football out there because SABC do get 140 PSL games.
Yeah.
But the oddity is that what the SABC does with that product isn't equivalent to what SuperSport will do or anybody else for that matter, because they've shown more AmaZulu games than any other team in the country. And AmaZulu is not... I mean, the most popular team. So are they really using what they have effectively, which then affects the quality or the demand of that product in terms of the free-to-air space?
Yeah, exactly what you said, what Adam Silver said. In the next 5 years, we're gonna less and less people are going to watch sports on TV.
Yeah.
So the PSL, I had a few chats with some of the PSL guys, and I told them, look, I think you must prepare yourself. You know,
yeah,
it's good money they're getting right now via SuperSport. It's great money, but don't sit on your laurels and expect it to carry on, because there's going to be more players. And what they can do, the PSL can do, they can really unbundle it and create a product that is unique to South African football specifically.
Right.
We have a star set that's here. They're also interested to get into the to the market.
Kwese just got their license.
So the PSL find themselves in a very advantageous position where they can actually sell to various players, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe the relationship that they've created with SuperSport, the relationship with MultiChoice and the Dr. Ivan Koza, it's been long, and I'm sure they don't want to create any animosity.
Yeah.
But I think it will be to their advantage if they unbundle and say, look, you know what? Currently, we have a team like you. The PSL is not known for the derby anymore. The last 5 years, it's been Sundowns. Sundowns is another. So how about we remarket the 20 derby, for instance? You know?
And it's, then we do that for maybe free-to-air or streaming products. Yeah,
you know, because, I mean, just as much people watch Sundowns play.
I can tell you why that makes sense, because Tshwane City actually have free Wi-Fi in the entire city of Pretoria.
Imagine, exactly.
Yeah, you can go to Church Square, sit and watch your game maybe in between your shopping. That is actually such a viable
100%
option. Yeah. 100%.
So once they do that, SABC, the only issue that I think the SABC had is that you need to market the games. You will not be able to sell a football games if you're not able to market it.
Yeah.
And marketing means you need to punt it during the week. People must know this game is going to be live. I mean, when they got the rights to the EPL games, that 2 o'clock
I
match.
I remember,
Do you see how many times, I listened to radio a lot, they were punting the games, like
they
Arsenal
were.
Versus... Yeah.
What were the numbers for those games?
EPL is, it's not that popular. Like a Manchester United-Liverpool game is big in SA, but if you have Arsenal versus Ipswich
it's not going to draw a huge spike like we saw in rugby, as
exactly.
you were explaining.
It won't, exactly. So the demand in specifically in SAPC is still very local. So the national teams are big. The national team games are massive.
Yeah, Bafana is
exactly.
Huge.
It's massive. So those games, I think they really need to punt it, and they need to really drive the marketing when you have those rights to get the returns.
They failed miserably in this regard. I think you need to go there and help them out, man. Because Asafa was saying that, you know, they had valued their rights at over 100 million, 110 to be specific, over 5 years. And then SABC only offered 10 million at the time of renewal, which they scoffed at. And, I mean, justifiably so, if you were used to getting 110M and now suddenly it's down by 90%, you're gonna have a little bit of a problem. But the only reason the SABC didn't want to pay that money is because they don't know how to leverage.
Absolutely.
I mean, they there was a stat that the CEO of SAFA came up with that they reached a peak 5.8 million viewers for South Africa versus Senegal in a World Cup qualifier that was played at home in Polokwane. That's insane. I mean, there's a lot of people that would love to have those kind of numbers.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that when you market a game like Bafana versus Senegal, let's say a qualifier.
Yeah.
You know, what other sporting event is happening during that day, like Saturday? You know, you need to look at all those elements.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I also feel where the SABC really failed was that how do you measure you know, the rights that you're going to buy for 10 million? How do you measure? You're saying, oh, cool, I'm going to give you 10 million, but I'm planning to make 25 million. Or are you going to just going to give him 10 million and make 1 million? You know, it does not make sense.
That's exactly what they're doing now. They spent 3.7 billion, only made 148 million in the last eight or so years.
And that's where the sporting bodies come in. They need we need to know the value of the PSL game, one PSL match. A sponsor like EPSA.
Yeah.
We need to know EPSA, the Soweto Derby, brings in 6 million viewers, maybe 20 million viewers.
Yeah, yeah.
After that game, at the end of that day, on Monday morning, can EPSA come back to us and say, you know what, from that 20 million viewership where we punted EPSA the whole day during the Soweto Derby and we brought in 2 million new bank accounts open.
Right.
Can they say that? Can they say, you know what, this is actually very valuable?
That's true. So I don't think they can, but
so
yeah.
You see, we find ourselves in a predicament where the numbers have been thrown around, but we don't actually know the value.
Yeah. Like
the
EPL, you can't strip it down absolutely. To one game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what the EPL has. You know, that's what the NBA has.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all these CSR projects that you're doing, they know exactly the value that's going to come after doing all these projects. So you need to value your product. And when you value your product, you need to say, oh, cool, I'm going to put 10 million up front, but I know that after this, I'm going to make 25 million.
Right, yeah.
You know, it only makes sense.
And that's an internal problem with the SABC. Now, Ikase have sort of come in as a big brother, like bully everybody out of the way. Bang, bang, bang. We want sports to be accessible to the masses. And but SABC don't have the channels. Their digital migration is not up yet, so they can't put in a 24-hour sporting channel. They had Banyana rights last year to all home matches out of the CAF zone. They didn't show one single Banyana game. They had netball rights up until, I think, 2007 for free. Between 2007 and 2010, they had them at a rather cheap price. Yeah. No netball games ever been shown live on the public broadcaster. And on and on and on this went. Now, what are your summations of the ICASA process, which I'm sure you've been following as well, because this is particularly interesting. If it opens a window for a player such as yourselves to be able to get a foothold in any free-to-air broadcast, especially PSL rights, which we know to be the most valuable, even though we can't put a number to that, except for the 2 billion they get from SuperSport. What would it mean for you guys that play in the free to air space?
I think ICASA has a role to play, and they just basically, that's what they're doing. They have an objective. They come in, they say, look, guys, we are the regulators. You can't do anything. They say, look, if it's just like Competition Commission, you know, they need to regulate who's doing what, who's doing what. They're doing what they're doing. But the reality is, we are in a market where people don't know, the people in high positions, in whether it's free-to-air sporting bodies, they don't actually understand the broadcasting game as well as they should, you know? So, like, I love what Quest is doing. Quest, I mean, they partnered, the first thing they did when they launched, they partnered with iFlix.
Okay.
iFlix, the Asian Singaporean Netflix, sort of. They partner with them, so they're getting a whole lot of content coming in.
Yeah.
And then with Quest Sports, you know, we saw what happened with that. They had a bit of an issue, but now that they have the license, I hope they can get the right set-top boxes, encrypted set-top boxes, so that they can start distributing. So you need to have the right people in the right positions. Also, those that are in those positions, they need to be able to make decisions, you know?
Yeah.
To be able to say, look, we need to innovate. We need to innovate, and how are we innovating? Look, the moment Netflix came into the scene, MultiChoice launched Showmax. Is it Showmax?
Yeah.
Yeah, Showmax.
Yeah.
You know, to compete. Because, I mean, they lost 200,000 subscribers.
Jeez,
you know? Because Netflix currently has about 500,000 subscribers in South Africa alone.
500,000?
500,000 already.
Man, you know? Just got fiber in my complex, bro.
So MultiChoice is playing the game that a lot of people don't know how to play. So that's why it's good that we need to open up the market. We need to bring in new players, even small players. I mean, even if you can have a small Lanyana platform and have one PSL game, you know, AmaZulu versus Golden Arrows, you know, a game like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For a body like the PSL and SAFA will actually have more money to play with. They will know how to say, they'll say, look, we'll have packages for a small OTT player, we'll have packages for premium player, we'll have packages for these silver line players, you know, so everybody gets access to it, specifically when it comes to the national teams. You know, that's a thing for me. There's just no discussion there. SABC has to be able to broadcast national teams for national interest. You know, everybody needs to know who Siya Kolisi is. Everybody needs to know who Aaron Mokoena is or whatever. Everybody, we need to know our national captains, you know, whether it's cricket, netball.
And the women's game as well. I think SABC missed a huge opportunity with Banyana Banyana. Banyana made the AFCON women's final, which is how they managed to qualify for their first ever World Cup, which was in France. Unfortunately, the results didn't go according to plan. But that's besides the point. I think they've missed a boat. They missed a boat with netball. Netball is now secured. The next World Cup is coming to South Africa in Cape Town, to be more specific. You look at hockey. The South African women are in Spain, I think, at the moment.
The men
Have just gotten, I think, a great result. I think they beat the US 2-1. So you look at these sporting codes, and they're able to draw sponsors such as Telkom, Brutal Fruit, because they are guaranteed that broadcast. So the broadcast is not just for the broadcaster. It's for the federation to be able to sell to the sponsors. There's a whole trickle-down
effect. The SABC must come to a realization that they cannot play sports within, try and accommodate sport within SABC 1, 2, and 3. It's not possible. They need to launch. They need to launch. They have to launch an SABC Sports full-on 24-hour channel.
So you think we need to postpone this ICASA period for the time when they can genuinely say we can show, I don't know, a third of the 380 matches of PSL games we get every year.
Absolutely. There's too much sports being played in South Africa that SABC can cover. There's more than enough.
More than enough
sports being played in South Africa. Like you said, netball, hockey, volleyball, you know, the golf. Some local golf tournaments happening. You know, there's more than enough sports that SABC can cover, whether it's from a highlight or a live package.
Right. Cool, buddy. Before I let you go, thanks for coming in. I need you to give me some upsets and playmakers of the week very, very quickly. Okay. I hope you've been following your sports. This is where I catch my guests out. Your upset of the week, your options are Gary Woodland beating two-time defending champion Brooks Koepka to win the US Open. Bangladesh smashing the West Indies by 7 wickets in Taunton, chasing a score of over 300 to get that victory. France beating the baby box in the Junior World Cup semifinals.
Definitely Bangladesh beating West Indies.
Oh, you're going for Bangladesh. I think that's the second time Bangladesh have been in for that category. That's the upset of the week. Playmaker of the week, I've got Gary Woodland again, winning his first major championship by 3 shots at Pebble Beach. Lukanyo Am scoring a smash and grab winning try to help the Sharks beat the Stormers and book a place in the Super Rugby playoffs. As well as Cheslin Kolbe assisting 2 Yohan Huje tries to help Toulouse beat Clermont in the French top 14.
I was watching that Stormers Sharks game, and I think that last minute try from Lukanyo Am.
Rugby bias there. Gary Woodland doesn't even get one, but that's all right, mate. I'm sure he's going to enjoy that trophy instead.
Definitely.
Thanks very much,
Thank
brother,
you very
man.
Much, man.
It was
Thank
a
you.
Very informative chat, and I'm sure our listeners have learned a whole lot by having you here.
Thank you, Spoo.
Cheers,
All the
mate.
Best.
All right. That's it from me, Spoo Mjikelelo, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntloko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live podcast, it's goodbye for now.